All right, get ready because today we are going deep on this thing called ikigai.
Ikigai.
Yeah, and you've probably heard this word before, right?
Oh, yeah.
Floating around, but we are taking this deep dive way beyond just like typical self-help stuff.
Right?
We're talking about like a Japanese philosophy that's it's really like baked into their culture.
Yeah.
It's a whole way of life that aims to like uncover your reason for being.
And you know what's really fascinating about this? It's not just like some vague feel-good idea,
Yeah,
you know.
right.
It's been linked to some really interesting mental health benefits and just overall well-being.
Yeah, for sure. And to help us break all this down, we've got this super interesting article from Lifestyle Hub 101.
Okay.
It's called Ikigai and Mental Health:
Watch.
Finding Inner Peace Through Purpose.
Nice.
It really digs deep into like all the details, even like how Ikigai can help you get back on track after, going through some rough stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of curious, like as we go through this, have you ever thought about what your own like reason for being is?
I'm sure a lot of our listeners are thinking about that right now.
Yeah.
So to get us started, why don't we just clarify what we're actually talking about here? What are the like core principles of Ikigai?
Yeah, for sure, because it's more than just like do what you love,
Right.
The article breaks it down into these four key pillars.
Yeah.
It's almost like a puzzle that needs all the pieces,
I
to make the full picture.
like that analogy. So think of it this way. You've got what you're really passionate about, the things that make you lose track of time, totally energized, those are pillar number one. And then you've got what you're good at, your natural skills, those things that you just excel at.
Okay, so we've got passion and skill. What are the other two pieces of this puzzle?
This is where Ikigai gets really interesting. The third piece is about what the world needs. So it's kind of like an outward focus, you know, contributing to something bigger than yourself. And then finally, there's the practical side, what you can actually get paid for. Because let's be real, we all need to support ourselves while living out our purpose.
Yeah, for sure. And you know what I really like is that these pillars aren't like set in stone.
Right.
The article mentions that they can actually change as we grow, which is pretty cool.
It's actually really liberating, don't you
For
think?
sure, for sure.
Yeah, and this is where that Venn diagram comes in.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that, where all those four areas overlap.
Yeah.
Passion, skill, world needs, and profession. That's where your Ikigai sweet spot is.
So cool. And the article goes beyond just defining it. It actually dives into the connection between ikigai and mental health,
Right.
and it suggests that it's more than just like good vibes only,
It is, and there's actual science behind it. You
Right.
know, like the article mentions a study that found a strong link between purpose and resilience, especially when you're going through tough times, you know?
Like a mental anchor to help you through those storms.
Exactly. And it gets even better.
Okay.
The article brings up this study from SciPost, and this is where we go beyond just like name dropping. This study looked at people who had a really strong sense of purpose, and guess what they found?
What?
Higher levels of happiness and life satisfaction compared to those who didn't.
Oh, that's so cool. So it's not just about coping, it's about really thriving.
Exactly.
And for those of us who overthink things, and I know I definitely do that,
Oh, yeah.
the article says that doing things related to your ikigai can actually help quiet that mental chatter.
Makes sense. It gives your mind that positive focus, and you can channel that energy into something meaningful.
That's awesome. And this is all really interesting, but I'm sure some of our listeners are like, okay, how do I actually find my ikigai? This isn't just for like Zen masters, right?
Not at all.
Yeah.
The article breaks it down into some practical steps, and it all starts with understanding those first two pillars, your passions and your strengths.
Okay.
It encourages you to look back on your past experiences, you know, those times when you felt truly alive and engaged. Think about what activities make time fly by for you.
I love how the article doesn't just say, like, figure it out. It gives real tips like try new hobbies, revisit old ones, even ask your friends for honest feedback on what they see as your
Oh,
strengths.
that's a good one.
Because sometimes they see things that we don't even notice in ourselves.
That outside perspective can be so
But
valuable.
for sure. And once you've got a clearer picture of your passions and strengths, that's when things get really exciting.
Okay, I'm ready for the exciting part. What's next?
This is where we move to pillar number three, aligning with the world's needs.
Okay.
So Ikigai is not just about you.
Right.
It's about how you can contribute to something bigger.
I like that.
It's about looking outward, you know, observing your community and using your unique talents to make a positive impact.
I love that example they used in the article about a designer who used their skills to create spaces that actually help people's mental well-being.
Yeah, yeah.
How cool is that?
That's so awesome. It's like your individual talents can meet the world's needs, and it can happen in so many ways.
It really can.
Yeah.
But before we get too carried away with making the world a better place, there's one more crucial piece to consider.
Right. Pillar number four, making it all sustainable.
Yes.
So it's about creating a lifestyle that actually supports your ikigai and not one where you're always struggling or sacrificing your own well-being.
And that's where the article gets really practical.
Mm.
It talks about budgeting for your passions, making time for what really matters, and setting realistic goals.
It's like, yes, chase your dreams, but also pay your rent.
Exactly. And speaking of real-life applications, the article takes a really personal turn here.
Okay.
I think this is something that a lot of listeners will connect with.
Okay.
It talks about the author's own experience with discovering their ikigai after going through a really tough loss.
Right, right. Up until now, we've been talking about ikigai kind of theoretically, but this personal story really brings it to life.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a bit about the author's experience?
Sure. So the author talks about feeling totally lost after their loss, like every day was just going through the motions.
Yeah.
It wasn't until they came across the idea of ikigai that things started to change.
Wow.
They started small, rediscovering simple things, like being in nature and cooking.
Mm-hmm.
Then they reconnected with their passion for writing and used it as a way to process their grief and find meaning.
That's so powerful. It shows that ikigai isn't just an idea. It can be a real lifeline.
It really can.
Mm.
And as the author focused on the passions and strengths, they also started focusing outward.
Mm.
You know, volunteering to help others.
Yeah.
And this outward focus not only allowed them to make a difference, but it also helped them heal and find a sense of purpose.
That's so inspiring. What I find so incredible about this story is that it shows how ikigai can evolve with us.
Yeah.
It's not like a one-time discovery.
Right.
It's an ongoing journey of really aligning with who we are.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's also a reminder that finding that balance is so important.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just about chasing your passions like crazy. It's about giving and receiving support.
Yeah.
You know, taking care of yourself and finding that sweet spot where your needs and the world's needs come together.
This has been an amazing start to our Ikigai deep dive.
It has.
We've explored those four pillars, the connection to mental health, the steps to finding your own Ikigai, and even heard that incredible story about its transformative power.
It's been really great.
But before we move on to part two, I want to leave our listeners with something to think about.
Ooh, I like where this is going.
We've talked a lot about finding your Ikigai, but what happens when life throws you curveballs?
Right.
What are those challenges that come up when you're actually trying to live out your purpose, even when things get tough?
Yeah.
That's what we'll be exploring in part two. So make sure you come back for more.
Welcome back, Deep Divers.
Mm-hmm.
As promised, we're going to tackle the other side of Ikigai. You know?
Okay.
The challenges that can come up when you're actually trying to live out your purpose.
Right.
Because let's face it, it's not always easy.
No, not always. What are some of those challenges that people might face when they're trying to find or live their Ikigai?
Well, one of the biggest ones, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners can relate to this, is just the fear of getting started.
Yeah.
It can be so overwhelming to try and figure out all those things at once.
Yeah.
You know, your passions, your skills, what the world needs.
Right.
You can get stuck in that analysis paralysis.
Totally. You're overthinking everything, second guessing yourself, and then you end up doing nothing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then there's that fear of failure.
Oh, yeah.
What if you pick the wrong path? What if you put yourself out there and it doesn't work out?
It's scary.
It can be really paralyzing.
But you know, the article had this perspective that I found really helpful.
Okay.
It's not about having all the answers right away.
Right.
It's more about embracing the journey and accepting that you're going to hit some bumps along the way.
I love that. It takes the pressure off a bit, don't you think?
Absolutely. But let's be real. There are also those external obstacles that can make living your ikigai tough.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Things like money problems.
Uh-huh.
Not having support from family or friends or even like societal pressures that push you in a direction that just doesn't feel right.
It can feel like you're constantly fighting against those external forces, like swimming upstream.
That's a perfect analogy.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, there's the internal battle.
Oh, the internal battle.
That little voice of self-doubt.
Oh.
You know, the one that says, who are you to think you can do this? What if it's all just a pipe dream?
That inner critic. I think we all have that to some degree. We
do.
How do we deal with that? Because I can see how that could totally sabotage your efforts to live a more purposeful life.
The article really emphasizes self-compassion.
Okay.
It's about being kind to yourself, acknowledging that you're on a journey, and accepting that there will be setbacks and times when you feel unsure.
Yeah.
It's okay to make mistakes. It's part of the process.
I'll be honest. I struggle with that sometimes. I can be pretty hard on myself.
I get it.
Especially when I feel like I'm not reaching my full potential, you know?
Sure. Do you have any tips for, like, cultivating more self-compassion?
Ooh, that's a good question.
I think mindfulness can be super helpful in those moments.
Yeah.
When you're more aware of your thoughts and feelings, you can start to challenge those negative beliefs and replace them with more positive and supportive ones.
So it's about catching yourself when you're being self-critical.
Exactly.
And choosing a more compassionate way to talk to yourself.
Yes. And that leads us to another strategy for navigating these ikigai challenges.
What's that?
The article highlights the power of small steps.
Okay.
It's about breaking down your ikigai journey into smaller, manageable actions.
Okay.
You don't have to figure everything out all at once.
Right.
Maybe it's dedicating 15 minutes a day to exploring a new passion or reaching out to someone you admire.
I love that. It makes it feel so much less overwhelming.
It does. And as you take those small steps, you start building momentum, and that can help you overcome those bigger challenges.
That makes sense. But what about those external obstacles,
yeah,
like financial limitations or lack of support? Those can feel really impossible to overcome sometimes.
They can, but the article encourages us to get creative and resourceful.
Okay.
It's about finding ways to work around those limitations instead of letting them stop you completely.
So, like, maybe exploring side hustles that align with your passions.
Exactly.
Or finding online communities where you can connect with like-minded people.
Yes, people who can offer encouragement and support.
That's so important, especially when those doubts start creeping in.
It is. And speaking of support, the article talks a lot about the role of community in living your ikigai.
Uh-huh.
It even draws a parallel to the Okinawan lifestyle, which is often seen as a real-world example of ikigai in action.
Okay.
And there's a good reason for that. Those strong social connections in Okinawan communities are a big part of their long lives and overall well-being.
Wow.
The article suggests that we can all benefit from creating our own moai.
Moai.
Yeah, it's basically a small, supportive group of people who share similar values and goals.
I love that idea. It's like creating your own little tribe of people who get you and support your journey.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's more than just emotional support.
What else?
It's about shared learning, inspiration, and accountability.
Mm-hmm.
When you're with people who are also trying to live their purpose, mm-hmm, it creates this amazing energy that can push you forward.
Okay, so we've got self-compassion, taking small steps, and finding support.
Right.
But I'm curious, what does the article say about what happens when we don't live our ikigai?
Oh, that's a great question.
Like, what are the consequences of ignoring that inner calling?
Well, it suggests that when we're not living in alignment with our true purpose, we might start to feel empty or bored.
Okay.
Or even lost or adrift.
Like we're not fully engaged with life.
Exactly. And over time, that disconnect can lead to frustration, apathy, or even resentment towards our work or our lives in general.
Wow. It's like we're slowly draining our own energy.
Yeah, it's a powerful way to put it. It makes you realize how important it is to at least explore what your ikigai might be.
But are there actual health implications of not living your ikigai?
There are. The article cites studies that have linked a lack of purpose to increased stress, anxiety, and even a higher risk of certain diseases.
That's definitely a reason to start paying attention to those inner nudges.
It is.
But what if you've spent years, maybe even decades, on a path that doesn't feel right? Is it too late to change?
It's never too late. The article emphasizes that no matter how old you are or what stage of life you're in, you can always choose a path that feels more fulfilling.
I love that message. It reminds us that we have the power to create a life that reflects who we are and what we care about.
We do.
Yeah.
And even when we face challenges on our ikigai journey,
yeah,
the article encourages us to see those obstacles not as roadblocks, but as opportunities for growth and learning.
That's a great way to look at it.
It is. It's like, yeah, okay, this is tough, but I'm going to learn from this and come out stronger.
Exactly. And it's a journey, not a destination.
Right.
So be patient, celebrate your progress, and just keep moving forward one step at a time.
This deep dive has been so insightful. We've covered the challenges, the rewards, the importance of self-compassion and support.
It really has. We've touched on so many aspects of living your Ikigai.
And in part three, we'll wrap up our exploration with some final thoughts and actionable tips for bringing Ikigai into your everyday life.
All right, welcome back to the last part of our Ikigai deep dive.
Yeah, it's been quite a journey.
I don't know about you, but like, after exploring all of this, I'm feeling pretty energized.
Me too.
And ready to put some of these ideas into action.
Yeah.
So what are some like tangible things our listeners can do to start living their Ikigai like today?
Well, the article gives some really good practical advice, and I think it all boils down to three main actions.
Okay.
First, start small.
Okay.
Don't try to find your big grand purpose all at once.
Right.
Instead, just take small steps every day that align with your passions, your skills, and what you feel the world needs.
So like we were saying before, maybe it's spending 15 minutes on that creative project you've been putting off, or reaching out to someone who inspires you, you know?
Exactly. It's those little actions that can really build momentum over time.
Makes sense. And that brings us to the second action, make it a habit.
Yes.
So like weave Ikigai practices into your daily routine.
Right.
Whether it's a few minutes of mindfulness meditation journaling about what brings you joy or just expressing gratitude for the things that make you feel alive.
Love it. Consistency is key.
It's about creating a lifestyle that supports your Ikigai.
Yeah. Not just thinking about it every now and then.
Right. And the third action, which I think is super important, is to connect with others.
Yes, absolutely.
Share your journey. Find your tribe. Build your moai.
It's so important to have that support system.
You know, sometimes we get so caught up in trying to figure things out on our own that we forget the power of community.
We do. It can make all the difference.
I'm so glad you brought that up. And the article actually has some specific tips, too.
Oh, yeah.
Like one is to create an Ikigai vision board.
Vision boards.
Yeah.
I love those.
What is an Ikigai vision board?
It's like a visual representation of your passions, skills, values, and goals all laid out in a way that inspires you.
Cool.
You can use images, words, anything that speaks to you.
It's like a physical manifestation of your Ikigai.
It is. Something you can see and interact with every day.
So awesome. Another suggestion is to have Ikigai moments throughout your day.
Oh, I like that. What's an Ikigai moment?
Yeah, tell me more.
It could be something as simple as taking a mindful walk in nature.
Okay.
Savoring a delicious meal or having a deep conversation with someone you love.
Yeah.
These are moments where you intentionally connect with what truly matters.
I love that.
And you infuse your day with purpose and joy.
Little pockets of Ikigai sprinkled throughout your day.
Right. And finally, the article reminds us that finding and living your Ikigai is a process, not a destination.
Uh-huh.
There will be ups and downs, moments of clarity and moments of doubt.
Yeah, for sure.
It's all part of the journey.
That's actually really reassuring. It takes the pressure off having to have it all figured out right now.
Exactly.
It's about being open to exploring, experimenting, and growing.
Absolutely. And remember, your Ikigai might change over time as you do.
That's okay.
That's perfectly normal. The key is to stay connected to what truly lights you up, whatever that may be.
This deep dive has been so insightful. We've covered the philosophy, the science, the challenges, the rewards.
So we've really explored the whole spectrum of Ikigai.
It's a beautiful reminder that a life of purpose and meaning is possible for everyone.
It is.
So as we wrap up this episode, I want to leave you with this: what truly matters to you?
Yeah, what brings you joy?
What are you good at?
And how can you use those things to make a positive impact?
Your Ikigai might just be the key to unlocking a life filled with purpose, joy, and a deep sense of fulfillment.
It could be.
Thank you for joining us on this exploration of Ikigai. Until next time, keep seeking. Keep discovering and keep living your purpose.